It was mid-May in 2020 when Robin Armstrong declared victory over the coronavirus. Armstrong, a doctor at a nursing home called The Resort in Texas City, described giving the anti-malarial drug hydroxychloroquine to dozens of nursing home employees and patients in his care who suffered from COVID-19. Armstrong told reporters that hydroxychloroquine demonstrated its safety and effectiveness when 35 of his patients recovered and only 3 died. However, he produced no documentation to support this claim, and the Galveston County Health District has not verified it. In fact, county health officials say retesting of 40 infected patients at the resort found that 19 still tested positive, and that there were 5 new cases. Armstrong admitted having given the drug to scores of elderly patients, some of whom suffered from dementia, making them unable to offer informed consent. Armstrong also failed to elicit consent from the designated family members who could give consent in their stead. 2 months previously, U.S. President Donald Trump had begun touting hydroxychloroquine on Twitter. By April, Vice President Mike Pence announced that hydroxychloroquine was to be used in several drug trials covering, for example, 3,000 patients at a hospital in Detroit. Pence told a White House briefing that they were more than prepared to make hydroxychloroquine available to doctors' offices and pharmacies in the Detroit area. Without evidence, President Trump insisted that hydroxychloroquine be pressed into service as a treatment for coronavirus. In addition to the paucity of supporting data and Trump's lack of scientific acumen, his championing of the drug was marred by conflicts of interest, including his interest in European stock market index funds and in French drug maker Sanofi, which manufactures the medication. From March 9th to 19th, prescriptions for hydroxychloroquine spiked by 367%. The medication is approved for use against malaria, and it is legal for U.S. physicians to prescribe FDA-approved medications for other off-label uses. Moreover, the FDA specifically issued hydroxychloroquine an emergency use authorization against COVID-19 in March. Still, prescribing must adhere to ethical requirements that include informing a patient or the patient's representative in cases where the patient is incapable of giving or withholding consent. But were patients being informed of hydroxychloroquine's experimental nature and its risks? Did they have a chance to say yes or no to this experimental medication? On April 23rd, Helen Idrozo died at the age of 87 after Armstrong gave her hydroxychloroquine and her condition rapidly worsened. Idrozo's dementia precluded informed consent, and her son says he was not consulted. Larry Idrozo questions whether the drug might have hastened his mother's decline. Across the nation, nursing homes had barred family members to discourage the spread of infection, and the resort was no exception. But Armstrong could have explained the medication regimen and arranged to obtain consent by telephone. Armstrong was unapologetic about not having done so, telling Houston Chronicle reporters Nick Powell and Taylor Goldenstein, "If I had to call all the families for every medicine that I started on a patient, I wouldn't be treating any patients at all. I would just be talking to families all the time." Armstrong's defense evokes the pressures of clinical urgency, a common plea for dispensing with consent that will be revisited often in this book. The staggeringly high rates of coronavirus infection in nursing homes filled with susceptible elderly certainly constitutes an emergency, but it does not present an excuse for abandoning ethical behavior, especially when caring for the powerless who cannot effectively express their own opinions about their medical fate, nor advocate for themselves.